Welcome to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Aspalis Advisors and the Disaster Recovery Journal. Crisis management in today's world is ever-changing, and this podcast is our commitment to help you navigate successful outcomes for any crisis you may face. I'm your host, Vanessa Matthews. I specialize in providing insights and solutions for crisis, continuity, and resilience across industries from real estate and healthcare to terrorism in the airline and transportation worlds. No matter what industry you're in, this podcast will provide you the tools to build resilience in your organization. Welcome back to another episode of the Business Resilience Decoded podcast. I'm your host, Vanessa Matthews, and today I'm excited to have Vernetta Purcell-Morrow. She's the Director of Human Resources for the Mecklenburg County ABC Board. Welcome back to the podcast.
Thank you for having me.
So today's episode is going to focus on a deep dive of a human resources audit where Aspalis Advisors was a partner with Vernetta and her team to go through that audit process. And so we're going to do a little details into the case study of that. So let's kind of kick us off with, I believe that businesses exist to solve a pain point. And especially if you're in professional services like Aspalis. And so can you talk a little bit about what were some of the pain points that Mecklenburg County ABC Board was experiencing to give you all the indicator to say we need a human resources audit?
Coming out of COVID, I think we had a lot of our workforce, specifically our frontline employees, that were burnt out and they felt like they were not being seen or heard or valued by the company. In addition to that, with the ever-changing COVID restrictions and guidelines, we were looking at our own policies and procedures, not just around COVID, but all things. And so during a one-on-one conversation with the board CEO, my boss, Kiva Walton, he suggested Aspalis, and your name was brought up, Vanessa, and I made a phone call, and we began that journey.
So a lot there, especially coming out of COVID. You talked about that on the previous podcast and the challenges that, your business experienced. And I also, you know, wanted to touch on how you found us, right? So it was a recommendation that was internal, but as a business owner and for the other business owners that might be listening, everybody has to market, right? So that people know that you exist, because if you don't know, then how can you be leveraged for your resources? So can you share a little bit about how the Aspalis name came to your awareness? And what did you see in that engagement that made you say, yes, this is the right partner?
The name came from my CEO. And then, of course, it's 2023. So I did a Google search and I found your company's website. But again, the key word being risk, and working with people, there is always a risk. Coming out of COVID, it was obviously a risk of their absence from work, a risk of them not being satisfied with the company and leaving and still having a responsibility to our community, you know, 6 days a week, 12 hours a day to have for our operating hours to still be able to legally make the sale of a distilled spirit. And also to we had a responsibility to update and engage our workforce with our policies and procedures. Some things were outdated, some things we need to bring to the table that weren't currently there. And so, again, that's why we began to do a deep dive.
Yeah. And so to my understanding, that was Mecklenburg ABC Board's first HR audit.
Dun, dun, dun. Yes. our CFO and our finance department has a yearly audit, and I have a very small piece in that when it comes to personnel records. But owning an audit, it can be very scary because every day that I go to work, I like to think that I'm doing the best that I can and I'm doing things in compliance with state law and federal law. But again, audit, just the word sort of kind of makes you tense up and cringe. So it was truly about getting our house in order, not only to be in compliance with laws, but to be better for our workforce.
Yeah. And so during this process, we did a comprehensive human resources audit as well as a payroll audit. Can you talk a little bit about two things? One, the process that you went through. And then secondly, what were some of the value adds that you believe that you got out of that?
One, the process, it was a lot of pre-work. Vanessa and team are very intentional about reaching out and telling you what they need before they actually go on site. So where I sat, a lot of what I gave them was before they got there so they could prepare. When they got there, they were very intentional about not only speaking to key stakeholders, myself being one, but our workforce and who was being directly affected are around these policies and procedures and processes. And so from that, I think we got the value add items. One of the things I'll speak to quickly is our store managers had spoken about reimbursement for cell phones and just having to be on call, so to speak, and what that was costing them in their personal cell phone. So out of the audit, we gave all of our store managers their own cell phone and gave them a choice. I definitely want to touch on this because I am team iPhone. We let them choose iPhone or Droid because we knew that the operating system would be important to their use of the device. So all of our store managers now have cell phones, and it's of the, again, the operating system of their choice.
Yeah.
So thank you, Vanessa, for that.
So that's a great point, and I love having choices, right? Mm-hmm. So I would imagine that that may not have been the first time that your workforce shared that. What do you think MECLABC and leadership took from the audit or maybe saw differently or heard differently that enabled you and your team to say, we're going to take an action on that particular item?
Two things. It was a third party saying it. And it was documented and written. And also, I would hope in my role, just a changing landscape of the employee-employer contract. We've seen that change vastly post-COVID with the great resignation and the quiet quitting. So again, if you want to be intentional about engaging your workforce and retention, then you listen to the voice of those that are your greatest producers and help you meet your bottom line.
Yeah, that makes sense. Typically, I have heard that leaders care about two things. How do we make money and how do we save money, right? Mm-hmm. And so as we think about that, how would you describe some of the outcomes and the return on investment for the human resources audit? Not just the dollars that were spent, but the time and the energy and the effort for you and your team to make a decision about which one of these recommendations do we move forward with? And then how do we build up the internal capabilities to allow us to be able to do that? What were the outcomes and the return on investment that the board received as a whole?
One of the key return on investments is that the employees felt like their voice was heard and that they could speak up and not fear any type of retaliation or negative feedback from saying, this is something we don't like or is something we want differently. Sometimes there can be an unspoken, maybe adversarial us and them. And that's not the case. We all have to work together in order to meet our goals. And we need the buy-in of the people that are on the ground doing the work. So it took away that perceived stigma of I said something, I could possibly get in trouble, or I'm too outspoken, or so forth and so on. Our current CEO welcomes the conversation and the suggestions and the feedback of the workforce. He regularly engages frontline staff about how can we do this better? We don't know everything at the top. You're doing the work every day. Help us help you. And so I think that audit showed that we were committed to asking questions and following up on the answers to those questions.
Yeah. What I would say too is we had two great auditors that supported that process. And one of the key strengths that we saw in the Mecklenburg team's leadership was just that you all have a culture where you welcome the feedback and you wanted the hard truth. And some organizations say, tell me the truth and we'll fix it. But there's a level of defensiveness that's still there. And that was not the case with Mecklenburg ABC Board.
Well, transparency is something that we're working on daily. Sometimes it's not easy. I think in leadership, there has to be a certain level of trust. I will tell you what I can tell you when I can tell you. And if I can't, please trust that there's a reason why. But being able just to share more of what we know and when we know it as well. Because again, if you don't, then the rumor mills start. So if you don't tell people, they're going to make up their own answers. So try to get ahead of that. I definitely would say that.
So what recommendations do you have for other people who might be going through an audit? How do you prepare? How do you respond? How do you recover?
One, breathe. Seriously, because the word audit, it comes with its own weight. There's a saying, if you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. If you're going to be audited, there is some type of compliance around that. Hopefully, you're already doing the things that are just going to be validated through the audit. But if not, that is a time to say, you know what, let's draw this line in the sand and hit reset. Specifically with HR record keeping, your files, is probably a foundational for an audit. Pay, transparency with checks and balances. Am I the only one that has access to certain things? That's always a no-no. So always have, again, a checks and balances there. And know that you will get through the audit. And hopefully the person that or company that's auditing you shows themselves friendly and they're not here for a gotcha. Mm-hmm. It truly is. We want to help make you better. And I always felt that way with you, Vanessa, and your team. I said, whatever the outcomes are, we're going to take it in stride and we're going to use it to make our workforce better. It was never like, oh my gosh, where are they going to, am I going to be unmasked? Because again, I feel like I was doing everything that I could to make the workforce better, but I always knew it could be better. So welcome the transparency and the feedback. Don't run from it.
Absolutely. So thank you for sharing that. I think that your role as a human resources director is not only important in your business, but you're also a key decision maker for how vendors and suppliers are selected and the process internal of how you all do or don't engage in some of those types of decisions. So I'd like to talk a little bit about getting to the table. Mm-hmm. As a business owner and specifically a Black female millennial mm-hmm. CEO who's been in business for 9 years, I have personal experiences and stories of the challenges that are faced with getting to the table with the business owner or with a business leader, you know, whether they are in my current demographic or environment or if they are not. And for you, you are a representation of over 172 different ABC boards across the state, right?
Yes.
So there's one of you probably across the whole state.
Well, not necessarily, because there are some boards that are just one store. So there is a general manager that is the HR director. They're the finance officer. They are the CEO. So that's a lot.
Which means you're busy. You're yes. running a business. Mm-hmm. You have your own personal time, your own personal family. Can you talk a little bit about recommendations that you would offer to business owners who are trying to get to the table to reach a Vernetta? How okay. do you do that?
A lot of people do cold calling, but I would definitely say research the company. One of the things that's important, not only internally, but externally, as we partner with vendors, is making sure our values align. If that is not the case, then that's probably not someone that you want to do business with. So first and foremost, if they understand your mission, vision, and values, hopefully you have one. You have those statements in place, but alignment. If you have a clear vision about what you want to happen and what you want to come from the audit or just any business venture, whoever you're working with needs to be in lockstep with that. And it's okay to agree to disagree about certain things, but the bottom line needs to be understood by both parties if you're going to move forward together.
Yeah, that is so true. And what I would add is the process of relationship building. Mm-hmm. Some of the customers that we work with, it's been a 4-5 year relationship. And maybe in year 5 is when business actually took place.
Yeah.
So the need to be intentional.
Absolutely.
And to also to be in the rooms or the places that Vernetta's in, right?
Yes.
Like, how do I know where Vernetta hangs out?
Okay. So Amelie's on 36th Street it definitely is a place that I hang out because it's close to my headquarters. But also Cashern, which is the Charlotte Area Society for Human Resource Management. That's a great resource if you're trying to get in the room with key HR people. I would just think, too, a lot of us hang out and stalk LinkedIn. That's a great area for you to make connections and see what people are about. But definitely that local chapter of SHRM, because SHRM is a great way to meet other HR professionals and learn different industries. There are so many of us that are represented. Of course, I'm quasi-government, but there is definitely the corporate sector, construction, marketing, advertising, anything you can think of, where people work is represented with Kasherm for sure. So
I love that. So talking about repeat business, mm-hmm. I am a repeat customer with Mecklenburg County ABC Board, not for my own, you know, personal delight. But I say that to say, in my mindset, Mecklenburg County ABC Board, a part of its success is you have repeat business,
mm-hmm.
right?
Absolutely.
Just like the airport. If I fly out of the airport one time, they would never make money. Mm-hmm. So same with the small business owner. If small businesses and entrepreneurs are not receiving or driving repeat business, which is your solutions, your products, how it's adding value in the marketplace, the business will not grow. So can you share a little bit about how you have seen businesses who work with Mecklenburg County ABC Board, what have they done to be successful to earn repeat business with the board?
You said it earlier, it's the relationship building. Our CEO, Kiva Walton talks about the Cheers effect. A lot of people that come into our stores, and I'm not kidding when I say this, they'll come in and say, "Where's Vanessa? Is she off today? Like, well, when is she coming back?" And it's because that person knows exactly, you know, what you like. They're going to speak to you. They're going to ask you about your family, your job, your kids. You really is, I don't want to say we're your local grocer, but in a way we are, because that is that relationship. Because we do see people daily or multiple times during the week, and you begin to build a relationship with them. Or you may introduce them to something different. You know, I see it and knowing them and knowing the product. I see you always get this. You want to try something else? Or, you know, it's summer. Let's switch this up. And just having that conversation and being intentional about it. Of course, it is a transaction, but to some people, it can be transformational. Mm-hmm. We get a lot of people that come in. We see people sometimes on the worst day of their lives, and they're just trying to get through that. And so maybe going a step further and just asking one more question. You don't know what that can mean to someone. Absolutely. So again, the intentionality.
And there's also different pillars of your business, right? You have the retail,
the mixed beverage, and what I would call distribution. So retail means you and I as a consumer could go into a store and purchase. A mixed beverage customer has to have an e-licensee, and they also their products are stamped. So they pay an additional 3 cents on each bottle. So you can go into any restaurant or establishment that has a liquor license and see where they have a stamp on each bottle. And there's over 1,000 permittees in Mecklenburg County alone. So
over 1,000 like commercial customers, basically. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yes, absolutely. And then it's the distribution side where we are intentional with our distillers who are bringing in our product and our actually new products as well. And our spirits do not just magically put themselves on our shelves. So the distribution part is the transportation from the state warehouse in Raleigh and then our local warehouse at our headquarters here in Charlotte and getting that to the retail stores.
Yep.
So
one thing that I picked up on immediately when we started partnering with the Mecklenburg ABC team is you all are intentional about working with diverse suppliers.
Yes.
And businesses.
Mm-hmm.
And it's so amazing to see that, especially knowing your leadership's background in economic development in our region. So to your point that I think you made earlier, right, some of your things that you need are a one-time thing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they are more consistent. So can you talk a little bit about how that dynamic also plays a role in repeat business?
A lot of it is word of mouth as well. We do RFQs, and I think they go into the local newspaper. But we're very intentional about letting, again, vendors know that we have business and we would like your business. We currently have a project coordinator and our CFO. They work together about the small business. I think it's Small Business Consortium. But we're, again, we try to be very intentional about women-owned businesses and minority-owned businesses and bringing them to the table and partnering with them if, again, they align with our values and they can help us, you know, meet our bottom line.
Very commendable.
Oh, thank you. I can't take credit for that. But again, to your point, our current leadership has that background and is very intentional about bringing different people to the table that we've seen previously, because the board is 75 years old. And I would say this current era is probably one where we've been the most diverse internally and externally with our partnerships.
So yeah, as you prepare for the next 75 years.
Yes, as we prepare for the next 75.
Yeah. Awesome. Well, is there anything else you would like to share as we finalize today's podcast?
Just as far as the board, again, it's a great place to work. I'm an HR director, so I'm always going to give a plug there. But also just to visit our stores. There are a lot of stereotypes about a liquor store. We're not a liquor store. We're more than that. You know, again, there is the Cheers effect that we're trying to embed into our culture. And then just a product selection. If you're new to Charlotte or just passing through, stop by our stores. I think you'll be pleasantly surprised with not only your treatment concerning customer service, but again, just the products that we have on our shelves.
Awesome. Well, thank you for joining today's podcast.
Thank you for listening to the Business Resilience Decoded podcast, brought to you by Asphalus Advisors and Disaster Recovery Journal. Make sure you check out the show notes for this episode to see all the upcoming events, programs, and ways we can support you. Make sure you subscribe to the show wherever you get your podcasts, leave us a review, and share it with a friend. Thanks again, and I'll talk to you in the next episode.